The Social Dilemma. Now, I don't know if you've watched it, but it's well worth it. And today I got a question about The Social Dilemma, and I thought it'd be a good time to answer that.
Yeah, the Building Better Humans Project podcast. Welcome. Be motivated and be inspired. Let's go.
G'day team, Glenazar here. Welcome you back to the Building Better Humans Project podcast. Now, this week on Friday, we're running BroCamp, our first BroCamp. Through that process, I've been chatting to numerous people, and I was chatting to, via email, Mark, who attended one of the BroChat events, which is what led into this BroCamp. And he sent me an email. There's various things in here just about his young fella doing the program coming up, the camp, but this is a bit I want to talk about, and I told him I'd talk about this publicly, so it's all good. He just wrote, "I've been reflecting on a couple of documentaries that I've watched over the weekend. The latest by David Attenborough," which I haven't watched yet, but is on my list. The latest by David Attenborough, along with a really thought-provoking one on social media called The Social Dilemma. Not sure if you've heard of either of them, nor about your stance on either topic, but I really think they're worth a watch, especially setting out on what you're trying to achieve with young men and women. When you answered my question at the last meeting, part of it mentioned the fact that social media is here to stay, yet the doco on it has some pretty hard-hitting facts that are majorly contributing to the issues that we are all facing in our modern world. I'd be really interested to hear your take on it and how you view the content. So this is a great question from Mark, and when we did the BroChat event, I remember Mark's question, and it wasn't the only person who's had questions like that to me at events that I've run. It's about, you know, how we handle social media, etc. And I did say it's here to stay, because it is. Now, whether it's Facebook or Instagram or Snapchat or TikTok, or there's always going to be something there in the social media space now. It's not a tap that we can turn off. Now, that doesn't take away from the fear of what it can do to us as a people. And if you watch The Social Dilemma and you can see the intent behind social media, from Google and places like that are selling data and how they make it addictive on purpose so that you put more data in, so that you're constantly connected, so that they can refresh news feeds so you're constantly checking it. It's an addiction. It's an addiction I have. And an addiction is simply something that you would struggle to stop doing. You could just go cold turkey on it. So therefore, it's an addiction. And that's how it's intended. Now, I do agree that it's a problem. I do agree that we have to limit how much we allow our young people onto it. And a mate of mine, Dan Cooper, actually wrote something about this recently. So I'd love to get him on and talk about it maybe down the track. But that's an aside. Whilst it's here to stay, and whilst it does cause some issues, then all we can do is try and control it and our use of it. Very difficult with young forming brains. Now, I'm not saying I'm getting this right necessarily, but I know with my youngest daughter, 13, Sammy, I would give her limited time on her device. And it's tough because she's in high school now and all my friends are doing it and all the usual stories that you get from young people. But it doesn't mean, as the adult in her life, that I don't have to try and put some measures and controls. Now, in these programs I'm running like BroCamp, I will bring this stuff up. Whether it lands for these young men or not, I don't know, because the addiction is going to be bigger than my opinion. But if we can be constantly making them aware of the things that happen around it, then of course we maybe can make some change. And that's literally all we can do, is make some change. We don't have all the answers, you and I, of course, but at the end of the day, we've got to be putting some effort into it. We've got to be just raising their awareness. So the limitation for my daughter is, she must have finished homework. There's all these things she must do before she puts her phone on. And then I allow her to have it for whether it be an hour or 2 hours, or she can earn time on it, etc. Now, of course, that doesn't totally negate the risk. But you can't just take something off someone and think that in and of itself negates the risk. Think about drugs, alcohol, sexual activity as children become older. We can't just pretend it doesn't happen. We can't just go, well, if they don't know about it or I don't talk about it, then they're not going to do it, because they are. They're going to hear about it from other people. They're going to become more curious about it because it's not being spoken about or it's just been totally black banned. So to put our head in the sand and pretend that it's all okay, that's not the answer. The answer is we've got to consistently and continually and persistently be educating our young people around this stuff and ourselves. And this is the key. I know for me, I'm forever on my phone looking at social media. I have justifications that I run three different arms to our business with three different Instagram accounts, with three different Facebook accounts, and they are necessary to connect with the world along those lines in this day and age. And that's true. But does that mean that that needs to be hours a day? Does that mean when I'm parked at the traffic lights, I feel this urge to look down at my phone to see if there's been an update, to see if someone's liked or commented or there's been a message? Of course not. That's where I've got to get control of it. So the other side to this is, what are the behaviours that we are showing? What are ways that we could go back to some old school concepts? Maybe the TV's off while we're eating dinner and we eat dinner together. I know with my Sammy, because it's often just her and I at home, she'll read a book often while she eats dinner or eats breakfast. She's forever reading, which I like. I encourage that. But for me, I'll often have the TV on, but that's the one bit of time that I like to watch the TV. It's the only time is when I sit and eat because I can't be anywhere else and I'm not very good at sitting still. So I'll tend to watch whatever the latest documentaries on Netflix, etc., that I want to watch. I don't watch excessive amounts of TV, but a bit of sport, a few documentaries, maybe some crime shows. That's my sort of thing. So for you, maybe before you start simply worrying about what your young people are doing, start to get some control over what you're doing, particularly in front of them, because that's the time when it's a little bit tricky. I heard a concept which I've tried a few times, which I like, from a mate of mine, where when you walk into the living area, so the kitchen, dining room, for us, it's all one big area, the lounge, you know, it's all one big open plan. But my mate's rule in his house is all phones, when you walk into this area of the house, must go on this bench and not be touched. So when you're in this room, you're talking to each other. He never allowed his children, adults now, but he never allowed his children to have TVs in their bedrooms. Even now that their adult children still living at home, they're not allowed to buy a TV and put it in the bedroom because it creates antisocial behaviour. It creates them to lock themselves away in their room and just watch the TV. It's a great concept. It's a way of getting some level of control. It's a way of having conversations. They're playing card games and board games and they're communicating with each other. That idea of card games, board games, etc., that is literally about communicating with each other. And I think that's how we can take some level of control. At the end of the day, that is how we can take some level of control. Once we start to, one, control ourselves, once we start to stop being so busy and create ways to have communication with the young people in our lives. Those are the ways around this stuff, in my mind. And I'm not the expert on everything. That's just where I'm at with it. All right, team, quick update for the Mindset and Motivation Summit on the 14th and 15th of November, running out of Brisbane. Now, details will be released into the private group of the Building Better Humans Project page on Facebook. I know, ironic given today's topic, but on Facebook by close of business today. So keep an eye out. I've also decided that in the event the borders close again, because they're due to open on the 1st of November, but if they close, anyone from down south, I'll run a complete online version where the sessions will be broken down into 1 hour blocks. You'll then get think time to go and process what we've covered and then another 1 hour block and so on. Whether you come face to face or do the online version, it will be the same content delivered with the same intention and intensity to ensure you get a full energy fire up to truly make significant adjustments in your mindset and therefore your life. Life isn't always easy, but you can make it a lot easier on yourself if you don't try to solve every problem yourself. And that's my goal, to be a part of the solution to your goals, to your dreams, to overcoming your challenges. So keep an eye on the private group today, and those who have already emailed me, you can expect an email by close of business today as well. The Mindset and Motivation Summit, 14th and 15th of November. Design your life, don't settle for it. Okay, team, last thing for today. On Monday night, I ran the first 90-day reset. Very, very happy. 20 or so people in there who came in from the private group. Quite a few people missed out. Bit of confusion around the time zones. I get it. It's Queensland time because that's where I live. I probably should have been more specific about that. Having said that, if you came in from down south, well, you were an hour early, so at least you had time to to wait around, I guess. But some people missed it. I'm going to run those every quarter, at the beginning of every quarter, so keep an eye out for the next one. But some interesting things that come up, I guess, there are a lot of great questions, and I'm not going to go through them. I did record it, but I'm not going to share it because that was kind of the context behind it, and I recorded it more for my own sake, more than anything else. But one message from Cherie, who's actually a member of the gym here at Project 180, who actually does adventures through Adventure Professionals with us and is actively involved in a lot of things that we do, and I'm sure she won't mind me sharing. But, you know, she's been around us for 18 months or so, and she still had a reset after having that conversation. And she just wrote, "I'm going to actually start from the beginning of the New Year's Revolution." So the New Year's Revolution was a program that we did at the beginning of this year, when we had no idea what 2020 was going to look like, when we all thought life was good and 2020 sounds like a cracking year. Turns out a little bit more challenging than we expected. But anyway, she's going to go back and redo that whole thing, because one thing that she noticed is that she thought she had good resilience skills, but through the challenges of 2020, she's realized that she lacked resilience in certain areas. Now, her resilience, and I won't go into specifics, were not related to COVID specifically, it's some more personal issues. And here's the thing, we don't always know how we're going to stack up when it comes time to need resilience until such time as we need the resilience. Every time we get ourselves through an event that makes us feel really challenged, we become a little bit stronger. We flex that muscle a little bit. That resilience grows a little bit. Now, that doesn't mean it was comfortable while we're going through it. It doesn't mean that we didn't feel like we lacked resilience while we're going through it. But if you got through it, and if you're listening to this, you've always gotten through it, then that being uncomfortable is the very thing that is building the resilience that you need. At the end of the day, we all need to reset ourselves every now and then. That's just a fact. It's not you, it's not me, it's not, there's nothing wrong with any of us. We just all need to reset ourselves. So I like that Cherie had that realization, and she's going to go back and find a way to reset herself. Trust you guys are well. Chat to you again on Friday.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Building Better Humans podcast with your host, Glenn Azar. For feedback, to stay up to date, or go back and find an old episode, head over to 180.net.au. Yeah, the Building Better Humans Project podcast. Let's go.